Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Lisa Hare. She is a 32-year-old, two-time American Ninja Warrior competitor who has been battling pain, diagnosed as ankylosing spondylitis, since she was 17. She has been practicing as a dermatology physician's assistant in Florida for 7 years. She is the proud mother of two girls and welcomed the youngest into this world 2 months ago with a home birth. She is all too familiar with pain, fighting, exhaustion, and grief. She has been dedicated to a journey of healing and refuses to accept the expected progression of her AS. Her journey is both familiar and unique. She has highs and lows and has learned how to dance in the rain. Lisa Hare. Today we are going to talk about your experience. I'm so excited.
I'm excited too.
Your experience on American Ninja Warrior, among other things, and overcoming obstacles, because I think that's what this is all about, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about like you and your journey. And we have a real celebrity in the house, so.
Do you want to know about like my childhood journey to now? The progression of it. Okay.
Yeah. And how's it affected your life? Like, you know, the big bucket.
Probably really similar in some ways and obviously different in others to everyone listening. But my childhood, I was really frequently sick. And when I got sick, I was much more sick than any of my friends. I would often lose 5% of my body mass in a day or two over illnesses. No one really knew why I got sick so often, but it was just a frequent thing. And then my senior year in high school in 2009, I started getting that pressure pain is how I describe it in the SI joints, where it's like, it's not like a bad day. Now I consider that a good day. But I noticed that something was weird. And I was the athletic trainer. We did ESIM, we did heat, we did ice. And eventually, a few months later, it just went away. So that was during basketball season. And then that track season was when the severe AS flare started. Of course, I didn't know what it was, but it was in my SI joints again. I couldn't stand up, I couldn't walk. And I would get stuck in my desk and the bell would ring to go to the next class and I couldn't make it to the next classroom before the bell rang for being late. And I was about to sign a scholarship for track and cross country for college, and I was between four different schools. So I just tried to hurry up and make a decision and sign before the coaches could figure out that I had what I thought was an injury. And then state qualifiers, I qualified for the open 800 and the 4x8. And then that next week, traveled to Columbia where the state championship was, and we competed Friday night in the 4x8. They let me be the first leg because if I wasn't able to do a good enough job, the other girls didn't want to waste their legs because they were in open events too. But I thankfully did well enough. I handed off to the baton to some really amazing athletes, and we won state that night in the 4x8. Couldn't walk after, of course. And then the bus rides were always so bad that I just stayed in a hotel in Columbia to compete in the open 800 the next day. And I couldn't get out of bed the next day. My mom had to pull me out of bed and put me in the car, pull me out of the car. And I knew that my future college coach was there at the meet. But I also knew as long as I got on the starting line and got through the finish line, the worst I could do is be eighth in the state. And so I got seventh, better than eighth. It wasn't a great performance, but I was proud that I was able to start and finish. And so then college went just about how you would expect with the AS flares. And as everyone's so familiar with, I went to chiropractors, I went to doctors, I went to specialists. Nobody could ever make it any better, but everyone swore that they could. Just spent so much money, and my university spent so much money too, sending me to different chiropractors. I was going twice a week, and as you know, there's nothing. I remember college meets. So you ride a long bus ride, you stay in a hotel, that's a different bed. And I would wake up in the mornings and I would have to use the walls to get down to team breakfast, because I couldn't walk without using something. And then I would get on the bus, we'd go, and I would do my best to warm up, just thinking this must be an injury that I just have to warm it up. But obviously it never warmed up. But I did compete 12 seasons, 4 years of Division I running. So
wow,
I got it done.
that's incredible though. I mean, that's incredible for someone without AS.
It was challenging, and I was a biology major and a chemistry minor. So I was spending a lot of time in academics too. But I was just thankful, man, that last meet, I was like, I did it. I completed it. I'm done.
Yeah, that's crazy impressive. So after college, and you're a physician's assistant, so you're not like, you're busy, girl. How did all of this, it's hard to think about, you haven't had an adult life without it, right?
Right.
So do you think of it as impacting your life, or do you think of it as this is the way life is?
I think of it as this is the way life is. I remember talking about heel pain to someone, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, just like that feeling in your heel. And they're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, yeah, you do. Everybody has it. You know, like when you're cooking, like how much your heels hurt. You're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I joined an AS Facebook group, and somebody else was talking about it. And I was like, what? That's an AS thing? I thought everybody felt like that.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
I can remember taking breaks, cooking dinner, and thinking that was kind of normal.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I just want to think that that's normal. I want to think that everybody else feels like that too. So I'm just going to ignore what I just learned. Live in my bubble, and that's a happier place for me.
Yeah, no, I know. You know what though? I do remember the most emotional I got on one of these episodes was, we had someone on, his name's Dr. Cordy. He spent his life researching fatigue in people with AS, and he has it himself. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10, 12 years, when he described fatigue in people with AS, I had never felt like anyone else understood. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, because I always thought fatigue was fatigue, even after a decade of diagnosis. But it's crazy. So did you pick physician's assistant because of your AS?
So I still didn't know what it was when I went to PA school. Oh, I still thought, what is this injury that won't go away? And because I had gone to so many specialists and nobody could help me, I just stopped talking about it. I stopped searching for answers. This is life. This is just the way that it is. And I'll do my best every day that I can. But there is no answer. And the more I go to people, the more they make me feel like I'm crazy and that it's in my head. So I stopped searching for answers. The reason that I chose PA as a career is I'm a people person. I wanted to work with people all day, and I wanted to help people. I've always wanted to help people. I had done a lot of work with pediatric muscular dystrophy, and I had a big heart for those children. And it just seemed like the perfect opportunity to be able to provide for my family financially and have a lot of independence with my practice, and to be able to work with my hands. Those are all important. And I did not want to sit at a desk. I knew that for sure.
This is something wise choice that I actually said to somebody today. I said, I think I was diagnosed so late in life because I was always moving around.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you, okay, I want to talk about Ninja Warrior, but when were you diagnosed?
It wasn't until after PA school, which is wild because in PA school, it was so bad that some of the supervising physicians actually sent me to their friends who were specialists. I got stuck in the room with a patient on my first rotation in pediatrics. You know, when you're stuck, you can't make yourself take that first step. You keep trying and your leg just won't move. I was stuck inside of the room with a patient and his mother. I just couldn't leave. It was so embarrassing. I finally got out of the room and the physician was like, you can't live like this. You have to go somewhere. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is just the way that it is. And so he sent me, they did MRIs. They started doing live x-ray injections into both SI joints and it never really helped at all. And then, towards the end of PA school, we were learning about ankylosing spondylitis and my roommate and I were like, oh brother, that sounds all too familiar. And I was like, I don't want that to be me. So I'm just gonna learn about it and be prepared to help other people with it. But I don't want that to be me. So I don't accept that. But about a year or two after I graduated from PA school, I was like, it's time. I just want to know. And I went to another doctor and they were like, no, you don't have it. You're a female. You're too young and you're too athletic. You don't have it. I was like, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to order these labs. Just do it. Thank you. And they called me and they're like, hey, so actually you need to go to the rheumatologist. I was like, yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening to me the first time. And so I went to the rheumatologist and she was like, you know, your HLA B27 positive, your SUD rate's quite high. You do have ankylosing spondylitis. And I was crushed because I knew what the textbook said that meant. And I had just moved to Florida. I was all alone. None of my friends were there. None of my family was there. And I got that diagnosis by myself that day. Thank goodness for my dog.
Oh man. I remember diagnosis day. Okay. So what was the gap between that day and deciding to go on American Ninja Warrior?
Okay. So from pain to diagnosis was 9 years. And then I was diagnosed, about a year later, I went through this program. This is a very crazy part of my story. I went through this program called Foundations of Faith. It's this man from Egypt, and it was originally in Arabic. He had translated it to English. I was prayed over after 12 weeks, and I was taking 33 pills a day at that point, which did nothing. There was no point in me taking all those pills. I had 3 stomach ulcers. They were not helping. I was frustrated that I was taking any medicine at all. I don't like
You're treating
medicine.
The treatments and
why? This is so dumb. I just knew it. I was like, I'm gonna be healed. And I'm telling you, that last day, someone prayed over me, and for a year, I call it my year of jubilee, I did not have AS. I could do normal people things. It was amazing. And for my whole life, whenever I would, well, I guess for however long American Ninja Warrior was a show, whenever I would have good days at the gym and I would do really fun stuff, because I love working out. Everybody always came up to me and was like, you need to do American Ninja Warrior. I don't watch TV. I had never even seen an episode. I don't like to sit. So I was like, okay, these people, they see me on a good day. They think I should do American Ninja Warrior. They don't know that I don't know which days I can walk, and they don't know what I'm feeling like while I'm doing things that look cool. They don't understand that, like, I'm doing upper body cool things because my lower body isn't working. But they had just always, people had always been saying that you should try it, you should try it, you should try it. So in my year of jubilee, I was like, I'm going to try this. I want to see what my body can do. And November of 2019, I walked into my first ninja gym and I was like, evaluate me. Am I a project or a prospect? And I was super intimidated. There were little kids doing things that I thought were physically impossible. And when you've had a crippling condition for so many years, you're not used to being able to walk even. So like seeing the balance obstacles, I was like, no, I don't think that's for me. But I was like, project or prospect? And at the end, the guy was like, you're a prospect. I think there might be something here. So I went a few more times between that November and the following April. The following April, the pain came back. And at that point, I was so in love with Ninja that I was like, I'm just going to use it as a platform. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to do what I can, when I can, even when it hurts. And I'm going to make people know about this disease.
I love it. I love it. What year was that? The first time you...
2019 was the first 20. Time I walked in.
And then when were you first competing? Like the
first time I was invited to compete on American Ninja Warrior was season 13. And that was 2020, I believe. 2021? It was 2021. Okay, the first year that I was invited to compete on American Ninja Warrior was 2021. And I was 18 weeks pregnant. And I was going to compete anyways, but someone had some brains in the organization and was like, Lisa, no, you're not allowed. And I'm telling you, I was so upset. I was like, I can do it. They're like, it's a liability. I'm like, I'll just pretend that I didn't tell you. They're like, no, you're being ridiculous.
Were you showing?
No, I wasn't showing at all. I was like, no, I don't know. And they're like, we know, you already told us.
I was like, so did you,
but
you didn't compete, but you went back on like season 14. Is that right?
So then I got invited to season 14, but then some of the treatments that I was going through for my back and everything, I actually declined that season. Okay. Then I was invited to season 15, which I competed on, season 16, which I competed on, and I was recently invited to season 17, which is filming in a couple months, less than 2 months, actually, and I have a two-month-old.
Amazing. Okay, first, I'm like, you're badass, and I don't usually swear on this.
I'll take it.
Wow. Your training routine, that and like with, you know, having kids and the things that your body goes through with AS after having children, you know, it's kind of a roller coaster ride a bit.
Yeah.
Like what keeps you going? Is it routine or just love and inspiration and motivation to share and feel good? I'm blown away. Like, you're amazing.
Working out. I didn't know until the last couple years that people go to the gym because they feel like they need to be healthy. I go to the gym because I love it. Mm-hmm. So I feel really bad for everybody who doesn't love it. This is an epiphany for me that people don't feel good when they go in. It's like my antidepressant. It's my anxiolytic. If I, for whatever reason, don't get to work out for a couple of days, I'm not as pleasant to be around. I need the endorphins and the escape and the accomplishment, whatever the accomplishment is that day. Like, oh man, I could be feeling really bad about myself because my shoulders are flaring and I can't lift my arm up, or I could feel pretty good about myself that I just did 150 calf raises in a row. So it's my antidepressant.
It is, but it's also, I hated the gym until after a few years after I was diagnosed with AS.
Okay.
I never ran in my life unless I was chased until after I had AS. And then I could run like a 5K. That was the craziest thing, but it was like the antidepressant. And you felt better. So what is your training routine generally?
It's intense.
You can share your secret sauce.
Mind you, we're filming in 2 months. So, and also mind you, I just had a baby. So this is not like a normal person. But I do high intensity interval training 6 to 7 days a week. Truthfully, I do rehab 7 days a week, which takes about an hour, which is really hard to find that time. And then I do Ninja 3 to 4 days a week. And Ninja takes about 2 hours every time you go in.
So you're doing about 4 to 5 hours of physical activity.
I frequently do 4 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
With two children. You must have an incredible partner.
No, actually. So I 2 weeks before my youngest was born, I actually became a single mom. So I use the YMCA. They have childcare, and then I have an amazing ninja community, and I take my girls to ninja with me, and my friends and their kids will watch my girls, and I'll have my baby while my friend is doing an obstacle, and then I'll hand my baby to her while I'm doing an obstacle. Even the guys will hold my baby. Like, it's
What an
just one big
amazing
happy
community of
family.
people.
They're amazing. Oh my goodness, they're amazing. My favorite coach moved to South Florida, but the community is so amazing that my daughter even talks about him. She's like, "Is RJ coming today?" Like, she
Oh,
just knows everybody there. It's so great.
I love that. So, and you still are, you're currently on a break from maternity, you're on maternity leave, right? But you're working on top of training generally.
And so I work 65 miles from home, so that's tough with being still in the car for that long. And I see about 47 to 50 patients a day. It's I'm working hard. When I'm at work, I am at work, and that's it. I shortened my lunch so that I can come home and be with the girls a little bit more before they go to bed. They have a pretty late bedtime so that I can see them. It's probably not the greatest thing for them, but that is my selfish thing. I do want to see my girls every day.
We can have a separate conversation about that, but I think you're doing just fine. Okay, you have to be a parent who, if you're not happy and you're not living, they're never going to be happy and thrive.
Yeah,
And
that's
they
true.
will mirror your joy. I guarantee you, as a mother who's been through this, when not being well, and knowing, and my kids are older, but I have two girls as well. And there was, you're making me emotional. You might make me overcome, but if there is a moment where you realize that when you are joyful and you are feeling good, your children would, and as they get older, they will much rather have that than a mother who can't get out of bed, right? Or doesn't, because you just, it's a very difficult, the road is difficult with the children. And I think it's particularly for those of us in this disease community, it's very hard to be a parent, but choosing what you think is the best thing is never wrong as a mother.
I was afraid of having kids because I thought, I mean, I always wanted to be a mom, but I was afraid that they would be running towards the road and I wouldn't be able to catch them in time to keep them out of the road. Something as simple as that.
Yeah.
But my 2-year-old, she's so good. She's so sweet, and she knows. She'll be like, "Mommy, is your back hurting today? Mommy, can I help you?" And she'll climb up on the bed and she'll help me get out of bed. It actually makes it much harder, but it's so sweet that I can't say no.
Yeah,
And
but that makes
she
you
wants to
feel.
be held. Yeah, it's so precious. And she wants to be held all the time, of course, because now she has a baby sister. But she knows that there's a certain way that she can be held that doesn't hurt my back as much. So if I'm holding her, I'll say, "Mommy's back's hurting a little bit." And she'll be like, "I can help you. I'll hold you." And so she puts her arms around my neck and puts all of her weight up here. And she thinks
Oh,
that she's carrying me when she does that.
And you know what? And they, I used to say my older one, who's now in nursing school, I used to say that she was someone who knew, she would know you have a headache 10 minutes before you have it. But I think they also develop it, right? We
That's
did have someone
true.
talking about children who grow up in a home where they care, they feel like they have to care, but they also, they often become caregivers because they really find like joy and they find connection to it. So I had to stop you though, because you are a fabulous mother. So like put that one in the bucket. Like don't worry about that. I think you're
Thank
just,
you.
you know, and you know what? And just wait, because when they get just a slight bit older, as long as they're getting sleep, they're fine, right? When they get older, you'll be like screaming because they'll be up to 1 a.m. and you have to like go in and, you know, cut the lights
No
off.
partying, girls. Go to bed.
Oh yeah. They're late, they're up late and they make a lot of noise. That's beautiful though. And that must be tough. Okay. So do you have to modify or adapt at all?
Can you elaborate on that question?
Like, do you, like your workouts, do you have to, I mean, I can't imagine that you are able to except on occasion.
Oh, yes. I do the best that I can with what I'm given on that day, with what my body wants to do. If my body's asking something of me, I'm going to mirror that and what I'm asking of my body. If it's a day where my SI joints and my pelvis feel quite unstable, I'm not going to focus on balance that day. If my shoulders are feeling extra challenged that day, I'm going to focus on something else. So yes, I try to use wisdom in it. I love training the warped wall because it's very challenging for me because I'm only 5'1". But I know how much pressure and stress that puts on my SI joints. So I, much as I want to, I know that when the time comes in a competition, I have enough adrenaline to get up the wall, whether I train it or not. So I just, it's frustrating when everyone around you is able to do the full course and you know, the warped wall is not in my bag of tricks today. I'm just going to not complete the course. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And you look at everybody else and you're just like, ah, like, why can't I just be normal? But then I just realized I can compare myself to the people that are doing more than me, or I can compare myself to the people that are doing less than me, or I can just stay in my own lane. And I like to just stay in my own lane.
You know what? There is some kindred spiritness to AF people and learning that. So let's talk about nutrition. Well, first, okay. So let me pause for people who don't watch American Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
It's been a while, a minute, other than watching some clips of you recently. So they may have gotten you back. Tell us about the whole premise of American Ninja Warrior and like what the rigor is and the competition piece.
Okay. So American Ninja Warrior is an obstacle course. It's who gets the farthest, the fastest. So city qualifiers, there is usually an upper body. Well, it's really full body, but an obstacle. And then another upper body obstacle, a balance obstacle, two more upper body obstacles, and then a wall. It's called the warped wall, and it's going up. You have to climb or run up the wall and climb up the top. If you hit a buzzer, you clear the course. And the fastest four females, the farthest, fastest four females from city qualifier make it to semifinals. Semifinals last season was a head-to-head race. So you compete alongside someone else. Whoever, again, makes it the farthest, the fastest, makes it to the next stage, which is finals in Vegas. And finals has many different stages. Women have never made it to the very final stage, which is the rope climb. But
really?
Maybe one day. Yeah, it's really hard. When you get to Vegas, everything is high, everything is hard, everything is fast. You got to be kicking.
Okay, and you made it to finals?
I made it to semifinals. So I made it past city qualifiers. I made it to the runoff, and then I made it to semifinals. And I had the most bizarre slip and had just competed on that very same course in the runoff. And I had hit a buzzer, which was awesome. And then I just slipped in semifinals. And if I would have done the exact same thing that I did, like 3 hours before that, I would have made it to finals.
So have you been practicing your rope climb?
Oh, I do it for fitness, but I am telling you, I don't think any female is making it to the rope climb. That's the last stage of finals. I don't think any women even made it to stage two of finals last year.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's because women are competing against men at that point.
I know. I have some mixed feelings about this right now.
I know, but remember, it's a TV show.
I know.
We compete in Ninja all over the country all year long. There's World Ninja League. There's a lot of different ninja leagues that it's female and male divided. And, but the show is a show. So you accept that they're the authors of this when you go on the show.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till the woman wins, right?
Yeah.
Someday. In the not too distant future, I project.
I think that we win at everything in life, but I don't know that we're going to win at the show, but we win in life, I think. We're the only ones that can push out babies, so.
This is true, right? We can grow people and organs. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So thank you for that. I should have done that 20 minutes ago. Let's talk about food.
Yeah, let's do. I love food.
Tell me about your nutrition.
Okay. So, you know, the people that you see on Instagram and you're like, they are weirdos. Just warning, I am one of those. I am, I fully accept it. You can judge me. You can say whatever you want. I'm a weirdo. With all of my things in life, but with food, I firmly believe this. There are only 5 categories of food that are actually beneficial to your health as a human. So I stick to those 5 categories. It has been a game changer for me. It's been 2.5 years. Okay. So the only foods that I believe are good for you that I stick with are in the category of free range, organic, grass-fed, meat, organs, fruit, root vegetables, and raw dairy. Anything outside of that is a cheat. So if you want to have a salad, that's fine, but you need to recognize that it's a dessert. If you want to have nuts, just recognize it's a dessert. It's going to cause inflammation in your gut. I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but I'm saying this is what I do. I will not touch caffeine and I will not touch alcohol. All of my water is hyper filtered. And then I make sure that I'm consuming spring water that's in glass that has not been in the sun regularly as well. I do a lot of other weird things. Like I do grounding very frequently. My sweet little girls, they do it too. My newborn takes a nap outside once a day.
That's okay.
We have plants all over our house for air filtration. I don't let the Wi-Fi router be on at night in our house. I avoid EMFs like the plague, other than right now for this podcast, but usually I would never have AirPods or headphones in.
What do you do when you work out? I have to have the music pumping in my ears.
I think when I work out, it's free time. Yeah. I don't know. I just really hate the EMFs. I really believe it.
I don't blame you. I mean, it is, there are many, many things we can do to get closer back to like mm-hmm. what we were caveman. Meant to be.
Yeah.
And conveniences are sometimes not as like, right. They're like short-term mm-hmm. conveniences.
Oh yes. Yeah.
I haven't thought too much about EMFs, but now you're going to put it in my ear, aren't you?
Yep. I'm going to push you on it. My personal goal is to be as close to what my ancestors were doing as possible. So my shoes, I will not wear normal shoes. If I have to wear shoes, I wear barefoot shoes. But the rest of the time, I am barefoot. My daughter will not wear shoes. If we go to the grocery store, I know this is terrible, but she won't wear shoes. And I don't make her. I know that we get judged for it and we look like, you know, hillbillies or whatever. And that's fine with me. She has really healthy feet.
Shoes are the worst. Like, and the last thing you should worry about as a parent, if they're not walking on glass, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true. I do have to carry her a lot because I am concerned about glass in a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's the hard part. But I wouldn't worry. I mean, I always used to say, they'll put on shoes when their feet hurt and they'll put on a coat when they're cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. They figure it out, right?
They can make their own decisions. They can't make every decision, but they can make those decisions. They know what they're feeling.
No, it's, we should have a parenting discussion, you and I, because you're amazing, but you need like someone to tell you that these things are okay, because I think it's amazing and it's hard, right? It's hard having a disease, being a mom, staying fit, you're beyond fit. So like you're super fit, but like having a career, taking care of everybody and actually caring and like wanting to be a part of it. And this disease folds itself in. I mean, I canceled holidays like 5 years ago, just like done. Mm-hmm. We're not doing trees and turkeys and
it's why add the stress? Yeah.
Because, and it also, I think you probably may have a comment on this, but it throws off your whole workout schedule, your everything. It throws off the mojo, and people with what we have, I think, can't always do that.
Yeah.
So you conserve your energy for the really important things. And it's not always like whether or not shoes are on or off or.
Yeah.
Wait for the day though, that you come back, you come to appreciate that letting them have a little bit of decision-making really pays off for you. I had my older daughter will probably kill me for saying this, but like, you know, we went through like the belly shirts and the like somewhat inappropriate, like, okay. And I just don't have an opinion as long as they're safe.
Okay.
And this year she said to me, she said, you know, I made a decision this summer that like, I need my wardrobe to more reflect that I'm getting older and more mature.
Wow.
I was like, I love you for that. Right.
Wow. But
she came to it on her own rather than
no girl.
And there were no fights in between. Right. It was like,
I love that.
I reserve 4 days a year where I get to pick what they wear, but give everybody deserves a little grace with this disease, right?
My 2-year-old picks out what she wears.
Yeah.
It's and great. Like, it's hysterical.
Exactly. And you know what? Who cares? Right? Who cares?
They it's so funny. I'm like, you're in a long sleeve shirt and it's 105 degrees outside. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So can we talk about your support system a little bit? Because you touched on it, but this is like incredible.
Yeah. I have an amazing support system. My parents would do like anything in the world to support me, one, but they're multiple states away. So in Florida, my support system is the Ninja community. They're a huge part of it. After I had the second baby, they were just bringing me meals and just surrounding me with love. And I go to the gym, they watch my children or their kids watch my children. And my 2-year-old loves to do Ninja. And the owners of the gym are so generous to let me bring my 2-year-old and she plays on the obstacles and it's great. She says, Mommy, I need to go to Ninja. And then my friends just rotate holding my baby while we work on the obstacles. And then my church community is unbelievable. The girls and their husbands just surround me. They're like, hey, Lisa, how can I care for you today? It's not just how can I pray for you today? It's how can I be there for you? Right. Do you want me to come pick up your 2-year-old so that you can have one-on-one time with your 1-year-old or with your newborn baby. And they, for me, I don't need someone to understand the pain because I don't believe that anyone can understand what you're going through. Even with AS, we are an AS community, but everyone's experience is different.
Yeah.
Everyone's pain tolerance is different. Everyone's flares are different. Everyone's severity is different. It is all unique to us. I don't need someone to understand. I just need love. And I need people that are there for me no matter what. And I have a lot of that in my community.
Oh, amazing. Okay, as we come to near our close of our time together.
Okay.
Is there one moment in all of this Ninja stuff that like stands out for you?
Yes. Season 16, I made it to the runoff. I was so proud of clearing the obstacle previously known as Razor's Edge, really difficult balance obstacle, especially for someone who has fears about walking and misstepping on a sidewalk. But I did a runoff and I cleared the course and my daughter was lifted up and I took her on the stage with me and we hit the buzzer together.
Oh,
it was amazing. I never knew if I could be a mom. I never knew if I could be a good mom because of all of the pain. I never thought I would be able to do American Ninja Warrior. And there I was on the stage hitting a buzzer with my beautiful child, all of that accomplished.
What a triumph.
It was amazing.
Like this is, right? Is it Roosevelt? Brene Brown always talks about it, right? The man in the arena. Like you are the woman in the arena. It's aww, like you can't judge. she talks about it, it's around judgment, and it's, I think it was Roosevelt said it, and it was in a speech he did, and it talks about when we judge people for what they're doing, right? And I think in your case, it's like this idea of this disease or that people need to understand, but the people who really deserve the credit are the people that actually get in the arena.
Aww.
And, but like that, it, that is triumphant.
Thank you.
You're definitely one in 1.4 million, or what is the number of diagnoses in the United States? I mean, right? We know that. We know that without a shred of doubt that you're beyond one in a million.
Aww.
So
it makes me feel good.
You should feel good, sister. let's land it. Okay, we talked a little bit about your goals on Ninja Warrior. So you're going to be the first girl to climb the ropes. Don't worry.
Not Majora. Let's go.
What is, I know you wanted to use this as a platform. Like, what is the message that you want to convey to people who might feel limited by their AS?
Okay. I want people to be encouraged. It's a dark, lonely state to be in. I would encourage you, I know it sounds really easy, but change your goals every day. Give thanks for those little things and celebrate those little things. Some days my goal is to be able to walk up the stairs. And I'm telling you, when I get to the top of the stairs, I celebrate that I made it. It might not be an obstacle. It might not be heavy weights at the gym, but whatever my goal is that day, I take time to celebrate. I did that. That was really hard for me and I did it. You should take time to feel angry, to feel sad, to feel all of your emotions, but it's also very important that you take the time to let yourself feel joy.
Speechless. That was beautiful. And I think you're so right. And we forget. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything I missed that you want to just do, or?
I don't know. Something that has been really a big game changer for me, it's not just about the diet and lifestyle, but going to the gym is one thing, but movement that mimics what we did in infancy and in childhood has been a huge change for me. The guy that treats me now, he had me doing infant development techniques, including the infant roll. And it took me 6 minutes to roll over the way that an infant does. We should still be able to do things that infants can do as adults, but we don't move the same way as we get older. Our posture is forward. We're on a computer. We're driving a car. We're leaning forward all day. And then with AS on top of it, that inflammation in the fusion, the decreased mobility, it's a problem. I couldn't check my blind spots. I couldn't turn my neck. And so the different infant development techniques, I highly encourage everyone to look into them and do them. And LDOAs have been incredibly important. It's a posture correcting technique. And it creates space in areas that you're focusing on. So if it's a thoracic spine, LDOA, it's going to create space in between those vertebrae and allow you to have the proper posture. If you have proper posture, it's very hard with AS, but it is doable. If you have proper posture, that's less stress on your body. You're going to have less inflammation. You're going to have less flares. I know you're going to say, how could I possibly have proper posture? And I said that too. I had 0 degrees of range of motion in my thoracic spine when I started doing this. And now I have 30, which is the normal amount for humans. So when someone tells you it's irreversible according to the medical community, because it's irreversible with medicine, but it is not truly irreversible. And I can tell you that from my experience.
I love it. I want to do a whole episode on LDOAs, but we'll come back to that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's wrap today and get you back into your very busy day and go let you be with your baby. Babies. But yeah. Thank you. Like, I know nobody else can see you, but I can, like, I'm looking at you and we won't be, right? People will just hear audio, but like, I'm sure people can see it in you, and they should watch you on Ninja Warrior and follow you, I think, on Instagram and watch The Journey. But you're just a very bright light, a very bright light. And I'm sure you have hard days like we all do. But I thank you for your commitment that I think changes other people's outcomes.
Thank you. I'm very thankful to be in a position where I can bring people hope and I can bring encouragement to the community.
Yeah. All right. On that note, let's take a wrap. But yeah, thank you so much, Lisa Hare.
Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing. SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.